42. His missingness. Aside from looking as though they all shop at the Gap and nowhere else, the inmates of Volkov's rendering farm don't seem to be required to wear a uniform. Case sees several in the halls as she's leaving with Big End and Parkaboy, and several more as they make their way to the guest house. The fence she'd climbed, Big End says, has been only recently installed to prevent teenagers from the surrounding countryside from sneaking in to pilfer things. There are usually 60 people here, he says, fulfilling their debt to Russian society by rendering, as they have been taught to do, the rough segments of footage that arrive from the Moscow studio. The physical plant, formerly a technical college, is intended to accommodate 150, which accounts, she supposes, for its dozy summer session atmosphere. What sort of crimes did they commit? She asks, scuffing along in her slippers, Parkaboy carrying Volkov's gift. Nothing violent, Big End says. That's a requirement. Generally, they simply made a mistake. What kind of mistake? Miscalculated the extent of blat required, or who had it, paid off the wrong official, or made the wrong enemy. Sergei's recruiters keep track of court calendars, sentencing. It's essential to get them before they've been exposed, literally, to the standard prison system. Then they undergo testing elsewhere, medical and psychological, before coming here. I suppose some don't make it. Moths are whirling around the light atop a steel pole beside the concrete path, and the sense of being on the summer campus of some down-at-heels community college is eerie. What happens when they graduate? She asks.
I don't believe any have so far. The facility's quite new, and their actual sentences are generally of 3 to 5 years' duration. It's all being made up as it goes along, as are many things in this country.
The path climbs to a sparsely planted grove of young pines, screening a one-story orange brick building that resembles a very small motel. It presents them with 4 identical entrances and 4 windows. Ornate white lace curtains are drawn across the darkened windows, but there are lights on above 3 of the doors.
You look bagged, Parkaboy says, handing her the cloth-covered rectangle. Get some sleep. I know you're exhausted, Big End says to her. But we need to talk, if only briefly. Don't let him keep you up, Parkaboy advises.
He turns and enters one of the doors without using a key. She sees the lights come on behind the lace curtains.
They aren't locked, Big End says, leading the way into the one to the left.
An overhead fixture comes on as she shuffles in after him, bandaged feet smarting. Cream walls, brown tile floor, hand-woven Armenian rug. Ugly 40s-looking furniture and dark veneer. She puts the woolen package down on a bureau with a mirror whose borders are decorated with frosted grooves carved into the glass. She smells disinfectant or insecticide. She still has the envelope in her hand. She turns and faces Big End. Boone was reading my email.
I know, he says.
But did you know it before?
Not until after he'd called from Ohio to tell me we needed to go immediately to Moscow. I had a friend's Gulfstream pick him up and bring him to Paris. He admitted it to me on our way here.
Is that why he didn't stay?
No. He left because I no longer wanted to be in partnership with him.
You didn't? I mean, you don't?